you that as we come before your word, you come to us and visit us with your Holy Spirit. You will fill our hearts and minds. You will open them to the reality of your love, of your grace and your forgiveness. As we come before you, we pray that this will be more than a religious hour gathered together to get more knowledge, but you will be an infilling and a new experience of your Holy Spirit coming into our lives in a new, fresh, breathing way. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and take your place in our hearts as we listen to your word, as we continue to worship you in this way and bring you praise. Come and encourage us and challenge us. Come and show us the Father's love in Christ, the risen Christ that we sang about, we praise, we celebrate, and we believe in today. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us full to the brim, that we may overflow with the fruit of the Spirit, with joy, with patience, with self-control, with all that you have for us. May we know deeply your love in our hearts as we listen and engage with your word. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Martin. I had a dream last night. I was going up to heaven. And it was this huge set of stairs up there. And as I was climbing them, I was given a piece of chalk. And I was told that as I climb up the stairs, I have to mark every step with a piece of chalk for every sin that I have committed. So I walk and mark every single step. And as I get halfway through, I find that Martin is coming down the stairs. And I get to ask him, I said, so what are you doing? You know, when you're coming down the stairs? And I said, Pastor, I'm just going down for some more chalk. Fussy calling me a Pharisee. Listen to that. Religious leader. As we start this morning a new series looking into the Holy Spirit, I think it's I've got three reasons for this. One of the reasons I like to preach on the Holy Spirit, because it's, for me, it's a personal reminder that what we do, who we are, personally for myself, it's not a religious exercise. It is not a job. It is not something that I have to do in order to survive, to live, to pay the bills or whatever, but is fully reliance on the power of the Holy Spirit. As much as a pastor as I would like to come with big 10 strategies for the church to grow, to reach out to people, it all amounts to nothing unless the Holy Spirit is in it. To me, this series is a reminder of that. I would like to encourage myself alongside you to think again, to reflect again, and to embrace again the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without that, we just become a nosy symbol, as the Bible describes it. We become religious, you want to call it Essene, zealots, Pharisees, guttering, to put it in words of today's language, that has and is maintaining a religious institution. Without the Holy Spirit, in my life personally as a pastor, I really do a job. That's all I do, for which I pay and helps me pay the bills. Without the Holy Spirit, in my life as your pastor, all I do, I'm a clinging, or whatever the Bible describes as symbol as such. I hope that through this series, including myself and yourself, we will begin to see again and afresh and anew the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is a reminder that this is the reason we are here for. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us to remind us, to point us to that wonderful act of love in Jesus Christ that the Father himself has shown us in the cross of Jesus. That's number one. Number two reason, there is a missional reason. Again, I'll come back and I'm thinking about the reach and David preached last week, and you're going to have an update at the church meeting this week, as you're going to have an update next week for those of you who are not church members about where we are with the reach. But again, without the Holy Spirit, at, on our side, without us being guided and walking in step with the Spirit, that becomes another project for our church. It is not a project, it's a mission that God has given us that we want to follow because of the Holy Spirit inspiration that came back years and years ago as we look at the history of the church about 6-7 years ago as we celebrated the 150 years of our church anniversary. This is the second reason, because our mission, our programs, everything we do, they rely and must be led by the Holy Spirit of God. It's not just a program. Oh, we're a busy church, we do that, we do the other. But we are inspired, as our vision statement says, led by the Spirit of God. To bring others into a living relationship with Him, to form Spirit-led communities, and reach is part of that. It is part of our vision to do that. It is all by the power of the Spirit and not by our clever visions and strategies and programs and plans and whatever visions. It is all by the power of His Spirit. And certainly, there is a practical reason. We need the Holy Spirit as never ever before in our lives as a community, as individuals, as a church. One of those very clever people, theologians, said that reformed yet always reforming. This is the mission of the church. Reformed yet always reforming in the power of God's Spirit in His leading. No church truly arrives, you know, to the great mission, power statement, to the fullness of God. No individual ever arrives to say, I've known Christ or God the Father in His fullness. We will never arrive while we're here on earth to understand fully the love of God that was lavished in us in Jesus Christ and now revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important that we understand that we rely on the Holy Spirit. We are not just a religious institution. That we rely fully in caring as a pastor, caring for the souls before I become a manager or a leader or whatever project the church has in its vision. Fully, my ministry personally is to care for the souls of the church that God has entrusted into my care. And that is fully done through the power of His Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is not a theological concept. It's when you ask people out there, and even among us as Christians, it's really easy to relate to Father, Father God. We understand what it means to relate to a father. Some of us had good fathers, some of us had bad fathers, some of us hadn't had any fathers whatsoever. But it's much easier to relate to God the Father because we have an early picture of what a father might look like. It's easier for us to relate to Jesus Christ as the Son of God because some of us have had children or we've seen children or we smack children. Not a very nice illustration, is it? But we've seen children as such. And it's easier to relate to God the Father, to relate to Jesus as the Son. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit as a third person, we find that a little bit more difficult because it's not as tangible. It is not as easy to describe the Holy Spirit as it is about the Father and it is about the Son. And I hope that in this series, I'm beginning to just scratch a little bit the surface of what it means for us, individuals, as a church, in our vision and mission today, to relate to the Holy Spirit. I cannot stand here before you and say, you will understand what the Holy Spirit is all about. You'll be difficult. But I'm trying to get a little bit of a glimpse and put across of what it means for us to relate to the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. Now look at this verse that is in John. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It's very difficult for any person to try and teach what the Holy Spirit looks like or says to us or does. And I've heard hundreds of sermons and I've read even more books on the Holy Spirit. You need to experience the Holy Spirit in order to understand His leading, to hear His whisper, and to be able to serve Him with the fruits that He's given you in your life. You and you yourself, as myself, we need to experience that fullness, that filling of the Spirit of God, that we may be able to walk, live, hear, obey, trust, pray in the Spirit of God. It is not knowledge that I can impart from this place through this means. I can only encourage you. I can only show you what I'm going to do to this series. I'm going to bring a map out for you to show you what is the way to that well where you can go and quench your thirst. But only you can go there, and only you can go and draw the water so the shower of God, of His Spirit, can fall and refresh you as such. I can only give you a little bit of that map in this 5-6 series of sermons. Paul comes and explains he has this kind of revelations from God. He has this almost is taken over by God and His Spirit, and he just can't even express how the Spirit works, or how the Spirit of God looks like. And he writes these words there. I'm sorry, it's so small. I wanted to fill it to put it all in on the screen. But Ephesians 3, verses 14 and following. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family, this is a prayer by the way, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives His name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Remember last last series that we did was Living by Faith. This series is called Living in the Spirit of God. And this is the prayer. This is the verse that this series is based on. I pray that through His Spirit in your inner being, Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, only the Holy Spirit can show you that. Only the Holy Spirit will make you feel that you are rooted in His love, in His grace, and nothing can separate you from that. Not even illness, not even pain in life, or whatever it is. Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. Here he runs out of words, Paul, to try and describe the Holy Spirit. He can't describe it no more. It's so big, it's so vast, it's so deep, it's unbelievable. You need to experience, in other words, Paul says, how wonderful this love of God is. And you're only going to experience through the Holy Spirit of God. To know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let me say it again. We will never be filled to the whole measure of Christ until we get to glory. Even then, even in glory, we'll continuously be filled to the measure of God's grace. Even then, the Lord will fill us with His image, with His grace, with His forgiveness, with the power of His Spirit in our lives. Paul says you can't gain knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You have to learn to experience the Holy Spirit as you put your faith, that living by faith that we looked at in the previous series, as you put that into the practice of everyday life. Now, so the New Testament urges us to do two things that are positives, two things that are negatives, two that encourage us to do, two that warns us against. To be filled with the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, those are the two positives. And the negative says, do not grieve the Spirit, or do not quench the Holy Spirit of God. Two that urges us to do, two positives, and two that are negative. So I want to look a little bit at the passage that we is so much to talk about. I wanted to focus on the passage that is in John chapter 3, that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. And so there is a verse there in verse 8, the wind blows in John 3 verse 8, wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. When Jesus says you must be born of the Spirit of God in order to see the kingdom of God, he says those words to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, when he hears this kind of words, he doesn't understand, as we've seen in that in the great movie there. So Jesus explains that the flesh produces flesh, but the Spirit produces spirit. And it cannot be described. It's very difficult to describe them. Two words here, the wind and the Spirit. Those two words are one word together in the original language, in the Greek. It's called pneuma, which means either wind or spirit. And Jesus uses them very cleverly, interchange into the two of them. So that what confuses Nicodemus very, you know, is this the spirit at the beginning, the spirit that blows, or is it the wind indeed? And now, so is with everyone is born of the wind or of the spirit. It confuses Nicodemus a little bit because the words are the same in the original language. The word pneuma, from which we take the English word pneumonia, we're having problem with breathing, is the same word used there, the pneuma word, as it blows. Wind serves as a particular good symbol of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus points out to Nicodemus, wind, it's by very nature, is invisible, unpredictable. You hear it. You probably might guess where it's coming from here and there, if it's from the north, the east, the west, but you cannot control it. And just as the wind is everywhere in the world, even so the Holy Spirit's work is universal. And he said, it's not limited to country, to region, to race, to nationality, to anything at all. The Holy Spirit comes and moves and works as he pleases. A Dutch theologian said once, the Holy Spirit leaves no footprints. I like that. Yet he, you can see the results of his visiting in our lives or in many other people's lives as they become disciples of Jesus Christ. So here we have this guy Nicodemus, a very religious man, who the name Pharisee, he was a Pharisee, one of the teachers and the leaders of that group that we saw in that video, one of the four groups, and he comes to Jesus by night. Now one, it could be many explanations and suggestions and speculations why he came to Jesus by night. One probably because he was himself a religious leader and he didn't want to see that others go see him going for ask for more knowledge because he should have known this already. Probably because he didn't quite trust in Jesus as such, and I believe this is really one of the main reasons why he went by night, because first of all, to go to a religious leader by night meant that you didn't trust that leader to be really a powerful authority who holds the truth of God's word. You go by night to someone who you don't have that confidence in them and in their teaching. If you trust them, you would have come during the day when all the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders were teaching. So he didn't want to go during the day. He went by night because he didn't quite trust this Jesus. He saw some miracles, as the chapter reminds us. He saw some bits and pieces that he did, but he wasn't quite sure whether he should trust him with the knowledge of God's word, the Old Testament, as Martin said at that time. But for whatever reason, he goes to Jesus and says, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. And in verse 7, I love how Jesus responds to him. And he says, Nicodemus, you need to be born again, boy. The knowledge that you're coming to see, to search for and look at, your religious stanza as a Pharisee, as that video reminded us, the Pharisees were concerned with one thing and one thing only, that they look good on the outside, that nobody can judge them, and that nobody can see them doing bad things. And that's why they were so judgmental towards other people, because for them, outward behavior was everything for them. How you behave really meant everything. But they didn't look at the heart. And Jesus knows where this guy comes from and knows how to challenge him. And Jesus says, okay, if you hold on to all those rules and all those Ten Commandments and all those regulations and you are not righteous, then let me tell you something. Unless your heart is led by the Spirit of God, your rules and regulations will take you up there, but you'll come back for more chalk. And that's what Jesus basically says to him. You need to learn to govern and lead your life by the Holy Spirit's leading and not by rules and regulations. How much we are like Nicodemus in our life, doing bits and pieces and climbing the stairs of success or whatever it is in life, or religious exercise and traditions with a chalk behind us and going more for more chalk to go and pick up and mark our steps. Jesus knew that Nicodemus' problem was an eternal problem, as he was a religious one. He needed to get rid of that religious one and to embrace the eternal as led by the Holy Spirit of God. And this is where it leads me to the next step. In Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. And look at the word there. And I highlighted those words for you in that scripture in Acts 2. What happens there is a wind first. Then it's some tongues of fire, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Then there is a filling with the Holy Spirit. And then there is a proclamation. The Spirit of God came on all of them from all regions, from all over the world, and held them. Begin not only to prophesy, but to proclaim in their own language. To go and spread the good news of God's word. And you know what happens? That after exactly those 3-4 steps there, Peter stood up and he preached the first ever sermon recorded as such from a disciple of Jesus. Peter preached and 3,000 came to know the Lord. Look at the word of there. A wind, fire, a filling, a commission, a preaching, and the Church of Christ is formed, shaped, empowered, and delegated to go. This is the order. We need a wind of God to blow to our lives, to our midst, to our ministries, to our church today. All our work will come to nothing without the Holy Spirit. Mere religious exercise. Ephesians 3:19, I think I've got it here. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp my word, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Already mentioned that verse. But this is, this comes from the words of Paul. Paul, one of the greatest Pharisees that ever existed, who practiced the law of religious Israelite conduct and tradition like nobody else has. Those are the words that come from a guy who knew exactly how to behave in order to please God. And he says, all that stuff means absolutely nothing unless my heart and my life is lived by the full measure of God's Spirit, not of the law, not of the religious tradition and expectations. This is incredible transformation that when Paul receives the Holy Spirit, he's got no words to describe him no more. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us continuously into a deeper, more profound experience with God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shows us what it means, the cross for Jesus. He shows us what it means for the Father to give his Son to us. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. For Nicodemus, as it is for us, it wasn't a matter of improving our outward behavior. It wasn't a matter of keeping the law. It was a matter of infilling of the Spirit in his heart. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Sometimes we cannot see the kingdom of God because Our hearts are so full with traditions and religious stuff that the Spirit has got no room for freedom, of forgiveness, of love, of care, of leading. And so I'm going to close verse 8. It says very cleverly, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Fantastic words if you look and reflect on them. Nicodemus did not come that night intending to be converted. Not at all. But that is what happened. The Spirit of God drew him to Jesus and he came. The same is true for everyone who comes to Christ. He is drawn to the cross of Christ. To the cross of Christ. Because in verse 14 it says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man might be lifted up. Listen, I know that it's always a very touchy subject when we talk about the Holy Spirit. And in Romania, when I grew up there, it was like the Pentecostals had the monopoly of the Holy Spirit. That they speak in tongues, a sign that they've been baptized. That they prophesy, a sign that they've got the Holy Spirit in their hearts. There's no monopoly of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit main, fully aim and purpose is for us to understand the love of Christ in Jesus on the cross and the love of the Father through that. And in and through that, he leads us, because once we understand that fully, how we've been forgiven, how we've been cleansed, how we've been purified, how we've been empowered, authorized, commissioned, whatever you want to use, once we understand that, then we go out into the world with his power, with him living in our hearts, to proclaim this incredible freedom that we have. Not a religious exercise. I was on my trip from Romania this week, on the train yesterday, Friday morning, and you know, you see people in on the chairs there, and this guy comes in and he says, where am I going and all that stuff, and what do I do? So when I told him what I do, he said, oh, I'm not a religious person. And I considered that, said, this is the end of the conversation. So I didn't push it in. And then later I said, I can't stand all these religions and all this stuff, you know, all the wars, you know, you get the usual blame. And I said, well, I'm not a religious person myself at all. And he kind of sat there and think about it. How come you're a priest? You know, how come you're not religious? So the question came from him. And then, of course, 40 minutes later, I managed to preach the gospel and give him a lot of information about England and so on. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man might be lifted up. It is the Spirit of God that points us not to a religious tradition of a brass statue, but of a cross that flows forgiveness and grace. Many of us have stopped at the brass statue of a snake, worshipping a traditional exercise. Then a spirit, a living spirit, leading us into its fullness of joy and celebration and forgiveness. Now let me show you something. I'm closing with this. I made myself Now we come to that incredible verse, because this is where the leading of the Spirit comes to, the greatest verse that we call it of the Scripture. But as I was in Romania, I had the privilege to visit some people that I haven't seen some of them since I left, really, 28 years ago. 28, 27. And I always have some people that I usually go and I say hello to them. And I went to see this lovely lady, let's call her Lydia's mum. She's 99. Next month she's 100. I see her there as I always see her since I was a child. I went in that room that you see her sitting on her bed there. The same environment, the same carpet on the floor, the same things on the wall, the same bed, the same clothing almost on her. As soon as I came in, this is a lady who, 99 years old, loves God with all her heart. She can hardly speak. But as I went in, she prophesied over me. And she said, are you still walking in the Spirit or not? Then she prayed over me She prophesied, bless her. She said, now it was like, you know, that incident in the scripture where Simeon, when he sees Jesus as a baby, the Messiah, he prophesied that the Lord can take him, and she was the same. Lord, now you can take me. I saw your servant, Emilian, coming into my home. She was so sweet. And she prayed over me, and she prophesied over me. And she said, keep on walking with the Spirit. Be careful, she said, that you don't walk ahead. Be careful that you don't walk ahead of him. And then she prayed over me again. And she asked for the Holy Spirit to come up. 99 years old woman. She hasn't got her theology right as I have, because she hasn't studied at Oxford or London as I have. She hasn't got all the knowledge that I have and the experience that I have in church. But her question to me fell like a lead. Are you still in step with the Spirit or not? And this is what I hope to encourage in us all as we walk through this series. Are we in step with the Spirit, or are we following a religious pattern and tradition? This is a challenge that I put to myself, as I put to you all, as we seek to fulfill God's vision here for LBC in the years to come, as we seek to see God at work on the ridge and so on. Let us continue, Paul says, to walk in the Spirit of God. Let's pray together. I'm going to sing a few songs and pray together. And listen, I want to give you some time to, as the worship band plays, to come and ask the Holy Spirit to come in your life. And don't be afraid of what might happen or might not happen here. Just come and ask the Holy Spirit to come. Leave that to him. Just open your heart, your mind to him as the music plays. If you want to come and join me here so that we can pray together and be filled, or if you want to just do it there quietly, feel free. I'm going to just stand here. And probably at times I might be kneeling down with the cross here, just as a symbol that the Spirit of God is available to us today to fill us afresh, that we may not walk ahead of him, but with him. When I left this lovely 99 years old woman, Lydia's mum, I said, and how are you? I said, looking deeply with her small little gentle eyes into mine, said, I cannot walk with the Spirit no more, because he carries me. Wow, what a picture to take. Let's pray to the Holy Spirit, when you can walk with him, he will carry you. He is our comforter. Let's pray together as we worship, if you want to join in singing, but ask the Holy Spirit to come over you. Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will come and bring his comforting presence to us. Come, we pray. Come and bless us as we open our hearts and our lives to you. Come and lead us. Fill us, Holy Spirit, we pray.